The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. So I want to start this evening by reading some verses of the Dhammapada. The Dhammapada being a compilation of beautiful verses on the classical teachings of the Buddha. And this, I'm reading them because they've been resonating for me lately as part of taking refuge within myself, taking refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, in all of us as Sangha. So I want to share them with you. So let me read them. People threatened by fear go to many refuges, to mountains, forests, parks, trees, and shrines. None of these is a secure refuge. None is a supreme refuge. Not by going to such a refuge is one released from all suffering. But when someone going for refuge to the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, sees with right, with wise insight, the Four Noble Truths, suffering, the rising of suffering, the overcoming of suffering, and the Eightfold Path leading to the end of suffering, then this is the secure refuge. This is the supreme refuge. By going to such a refuge, one is released from all suffering. I've been taking intensive practice, retreat practice in this year and studying and going to many different places like this first, some of these verses say going to many places. And I remember when I started my practice how, you know, in different phases of life, how I would like, you know, through my aspirations and goals and dreams, I will dedicate myself fully to something that that had some purpose, you know, like my job or maybe relationships that had meaning, or family, or wanting to achieve something, and also create, you know, get to know the world, which is a wonderful thing. All these different things that, you know, we want, and that, you know, is kind of a personal thing, how it is that we find happiness and pleasure in our lives. We all have our own peculiar ways of engaging in creating all those experiences. And through wanting to get more support, you know, having more clarity of mind in taking this path of, you know, I want to be happy, I also went to, you know, I've been in different retreat centers and practicing with different communities, which has been wonderful. And there have been moments still by, you know, having that sense of dedication, that there has been like some moments of not being aligned. Like, yes, it's great to practice. It's great to also take, you know, refuge or finding support outside ourselves in all these different things within the world. But there have been some times that there has been kind of a contraction, like something is not like two pieces, you know, like when you put pieces of a puzzle in the puzzle, like they fit together, but sometimes like some of them like do not like fit well, you know, they fit there, but you know, it's like, what's going on here, you know? So those are the moments in which conditions have life, you know, receive the acknowledgement of life has made me turn the mirror or turn all these goals and these aspirations and energy into practicing by getting support, you know, from the outside, into looking within myself, into, okay, what is here? Where is there's a refuge also within? And so these verses of the Dhammapada has been of great support, because this part of, you know, when someone going for refuge sees with wise insight the Four Noble Truths, you know, is one of those moments, the Four Noble Truths being one sees how it is and how we relate to our distress, to our discomfort, even though, you know, we have the best things, a great partner, a great job, you know, but still, you know, we don't understand how it is that we get entangled in our distress and being unsatisfied. So these Four Noble Truths, let me connect with the body. The mind got complete, like into the Four Noble Truths, talking about the Four Noble Truths. So then shifting into ourselves to see that first noble truth, to see how it is that I have all these things and I'm not content. You know, what is happening here? And so that first noble truth, when we start looking at what we call in the tradition dukkha, you know, what is the suffering, what is the distress, we do that through what we're doing here tonight. We're sitting together, receiving physical sensations, receiving emotions, receiving thoughts, receiving the understanding, or, you know, seeing the quality of our minds. And so the Buddha, you know, at some point I was like, well, you know, I just take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, and I'm just practicing. But it has become more profound than just wanting to practice to be free from suffering. It is through these practices of the four foundations of mindfulness that we can find those refuges within ourselves. And in finding them within ourselves, we also come to see that there is a relational aspect of them, that even though we're looking within ourselves as we interact in the world, that we are connecting to others, and that there is kind of a relational way of practice too. So I want to read you this quote from the text where the Buddha tells to their disciples, especially Ananda. Ananda, one of the disciples of the Buddha, Ananda, one dwells observing the body in the body, ardent, clearly comprehending, and mindful, having removed covetousness and displeasure in regards to the world. One dwells observing, feeling in feeling, mindful. One dwells observing mind in mind, dhammas in dhammas, independent, ardent, clearly comprehending, and mindful. So when we say like body in body, it's like this sense of you having a felt experience of your body, just like I did previously. I started talking about the Four Noble Truths. There was like a wanting in the mind, the Four Noble Truths. I like that topic. And then like, where was that sensation? I'm here, or I'm just, you know, getting lost in words. So the body in the body, feeling the physical sensation, being aware of how this experience is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Noticing the quality of the mind. Notice a little bit of wanting there, the wanting of going into, you know, talking about something that you like, you know. And so then the Buddha said to another disciple, I will teach you the refuge and the path leading to the refuge. And what, practitioners, is the refuge? The destruction of loss, the destruction of hatred, and the destruction of delusion. This is called the refuge. So through the four foundations of, through the Noble Truths, the Four Noble Truths, that first Noble Truth of understanding how it is that we get into distress, through the four foundations of mindfulness, we see that we may be causing that suffering through clinging, through wanting, something to be different. And it may be ironic, but there's a lot of freedom and there's a lot of refuge in that understanding, that, wow, this is what is going on here. I'm clinging to this because there's a big sense of wanting. You're getting to know. You're really getting to know how your mind gets caught up. And as we get established and develop, you know, it just becomes natural to go back to the body. It just becomes natural for you, like in your daily life, to, oh, I'm aware of what I'm feeling. What is the feeling tone here? It's almost a refuge. You can go there within you to see what is going on. It's almost like having an internal sangha too. And then as you cultivate all that, it's like there's also a sense of seeing these inner beautiful qualities that we all have. That Buddha within, that capacity that you have in really being able to be free from clinging, which is really what the suffering that the Buddha talked about. So, you know, before the Buddha awakened, became free, there was no Buddha Dharma Sangha. There was a tradition before the time of the Buddha to go for refuge to something that had value for you, that, you know, there was, that you have conviction in faith in. But what I have learned, where did I put this, is that the Buddha did not ask. It's almost like when we go on retreat, maybe some of you have been on retreat, and we say, well, let's take refuge at the beginning of the retreat. And we say, these are guidelines. You don't have to take them. It's not forced. And so there was no obligation at the time of the Buddha, and there's no obligation now when, you know, we take refuge. But when we start to see how our lives change, it's like a change that we don't plan. It's really not up to us. You know, it's like as we integrate the teachings within us, our lives start changing. We get transformed. And even I'm amazed how it is that I look back now. I mean, it's not that, you know, it's like this all the time. But when I started looking back and how my life was before the practice and now, oh my goodness, you know, things that I was like, no, I cannot not have this. It's just, you know, I just look at it now and I just find it so humbling, you know, to see, well, yeah, I was able to be without that. Or I'm able to be content now. I was not content at that time, and now it's so different. So it's up to us to create that refuge within us and to say, you know, I am taking into this path of liberation. I'm taking on these teachings or any teachings or any kind of spiritual practice that you have, and I'm going to dedicate my life, my time to cultivate these qualities, these practices that do bring me ease, that do bring me freedom, that do motivate me to relate in a way that I can also offer refuge to others. You know, we find a safety within us that when we recognize it and we really see it, we see, wow, this idea of safety is so different now. It doesn't depend on anyone outside me. That is mind-blowing. And then to be able to offer safety to others and to live in a way in which you remember out of as you act is manifested through you, your intention of non-harming, is powerful. It's powerful because can you imagine if all of us will have an intention like that and we relate in the world like that? I remember Andrea Fella saying that everyone in the world will have that intention, it will be such a different world. So, but, and for that, you know, there is a transformation. It's like also, I was listening to Gil's talk last night, and there was something that he said that was, you know, in terms of how we practice in our daily lives. Of course, you know, our lives is going to change. Can I have the same life that I'm having now? And as I integrate the practice, can I still have the same things? I remember I had these ideas. I was practicing. I'm going to be free, and I'm still going to have everything I have now. And, you know, I'm just laughing out of tenderness and compassion and love toward myself and, you know, and unconsciously, I may be thinking like that once in a while. It's like, can I be free and still be doing this, you know, and maybe not putting a lot of energy today on this? So the refuge within you through the four foundations of mindfulness. And, you know, it's also part of that making ourselves a refuge. Part of that is really welcoming everything that creates this being in this universe. The things we like, the things we don't like. It's interesting because how I relate to that, those parts of me that maybe I struggle with, if I can practice in being respectful and making space to look at those parts and say, okay, you know, this is part of what is here now, and then inclining the mind to the wholesome, inclining the mind to wisdom, to virtue, to generosity, to honesty, then, you know, there is a possibility for being able to just, you know, have the entire family together, you know, having all these inner sangha, inner qualities, and then inclining the mind to what is more useful and beneficial. And so those qualities then become the dharma within you. Those qualities become kind of your guideline. It's almost like then all these pieces of the puzzle, they just like really fit together. There's a sense of ease within you. There's a sense of, okay, yes, I can manage this. I can handle this. I may lose some things, and yes, I can manage. This is okay with me. It's fine. I'm taking refuge within me, and also I'm taking refuge in, you know, I then choose in a wise way how I'm going to relate with others, how I'm going to create sangha, how I'm going to relate to the teachings, how I'm going to relate to everything external that supports me in many different ways. It may be supporting, like I say, those qualities of the heart that we can continue cultivate, and they continue growing in us, and they become a foundation for us. And then there's also the other qualities that also help us continue going back to the four foundations of mindfulness, and then engage into that fourth of the four noble truths, the Eightfold Path, which is part of the path. Is a relational too, wise view. We come to see, wow, those views that I had when, you know, 20 years ago may not serve me now. You know, there's aging, sickness, and death. I have come back. I have come to understand a little bit about how it is that I'm not the same person. There's everything that is conditioned changes. And then there's a wiser intention, the intention of non-ill will, the intention of letting go into the path, letting go into freedom, letting go into a cultivation of peace and ease. And then these other factors that we can also practice within the path to relate in a way in which, like I say, offer safety and relate to the world in a way in which we can make an impact also without getting burned out all the time or, you know, feeling exhausted or sometimes through not recognizing that there are things that are not, they're not going to be like we like, and we're not going to be able to fix them. We get into this, for me, has been like cycles of grief. It's the sloth and torpor, you know, of is supported by grief, like, oh, this again. This is here again. What I'm doing wrong? Or, you know, then it comes, we go within it, but then we go into like, not to understand the suffering, but to have the other arrow of the critical mind, like trying to know I'm not doing it right or something. There's something here that, you know, is not working. But it's really that the practice is so simple and at the same time has so much benefit that sometimes is hard to comprehend that the fruits of such a simple practice can transform our lives into a life of more contentment and more peace. So the refuge within you. I'm just remembering at the time, you know, when the Buddha passed, there was a moment there in which they were different disciples asking, so who's going to be the next teacher? Who's going to offer the teachings, you know? And the Buddha is like, no, there's no other teacher. Make yourself a refuge. I made myself a refuge. I'm done. Bye. Practically, you know, it's like, I make myself a refuge, and so I may go. You know, I'm not quoting now. That is like the adaptation from my own mind. But we are the next teachers to ourselves. We're, and to our friends and to society and to the world. How we act in body and speech, and how it is that we share with each other and support each other. So the refuge within our hearts, the refuge within our minds, it will support us in, you know, those moments of looking within and questioning and maybe having, you know, inquiry into if all these conditions and I have everything, how it is possible that I'm not, you know, at ease or at peace. This quote from Gill, it takes a willingness to stop talking, to calm ourselves, and look honestly and courageously at what is actually happening right now, again and again and again, right now, just starting every time as a beginner. this investigation and acceptance of what we find can be our refuge. And then I added a refuge, yes, within our minds and our hearts. So may you find within yourself, within you, your capacity of cultivate the four foundations, being here in the present moment and finding the Dharma, those inner qualities that will manifest in you through your actions and that will guide you, could be your compass. And the Sangha, all the different, you know, all how it is, all the wholesome qualities, the wisdom, your determination, may that support you and then relate to the world Sangha. Thank you so much. I'll be here if you have any questions.